I think we're still the Board of Supervisors, even when we're trustees.
Going.
Okay, we will reconvene the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting after this temporary halt for drainage district purposes. And as we go down further on the agenda, we have moved Community Service Departmental Report to next week, and we will then have Environmental Health, Margaret James.
Hello again.
Way.
Mix this up a little bit, Margaret, because we've got a Board of Health meeting this afternoon, too.
I'm sorry. Sorry to bore you, Paul. Let's see. Slideshow from the beginning. That's a pretty picture. That's not mine. Oh, let's see. I was here 2 months ago, so I don't have a whole lot new to report, but there are a few things going on down in my department. By the numbers, let's see. I've kind of switched the way we're doing things because the Board of Health went from quarterly to meeting four times a year to six times a year. And so instead of trying to figure things out on a quarterly basis, I'm just going to do it annually, calendar annually to both boards, if that makes sense. And then if you compare like April 1st, 2012 to 2011, we are obviously way ahead, and that the weather has 100% to do with that. Yeah, so we've been a little busy, which has been nice, and then that'll spread out the hump in the activity of construction a little later on. So it'll spread our work out, and that's very nice. Another thing that's not up here as far as numbers go, we have been handing out more notices of violations as we go through the files, and we see that there is notation in the file that there was open discharge or wells that haven't been plugged. We are sending out notices of violation, certified mail, and that seems to get everyone's attention, and we get compliance pretty quickly that way. It's been working out nicely.
Complaints as well?
I'm sorry?
Does that drive the complaints as well, sending those out? Is that where the complaints come from primarily?
Complaints are typically over the phone, and we do follow-up inspections, but we do not send out notices of violations unless they're not willing to work with us, and then we will do that. Yes. For my lead inspection program, I closed down another case in Ames. It was a rental unit, a large old house that rented the upstairs and downstairs as two units. He replaced all of the windows, and that is pretty much taken care of the lead hazards in the house. I still have eight open cases, but none of them are posing immediate threat. Most of them are sitting vacant because the owners cannot afford to lead abate. No new lead poisonings reported by Homeward for the last 2 months. I had the opportunity to sit in on a lead webinar, and the lead poisoning program is going to change so that it now also will include Healthy Homes Initiatives. And the acronym for that is HELP, Healthy Homes, and Lead Poisoning Surveillance System. The grant, this is the catcher, the grant amount for that program will be cut by 25% while they're still asking us to expand that program. So I'm not sure, if they will tie specific things that we need to do into that grant. It's something that Homeward and Environmental Health will have to sit down and take a hard look at and see if it makes sense to continue on with that grant. Things that they would like the lead program to expand to include would be radon, carbon monoxide, mold, falls, structural problems with individual housing, weatherization, ventilation, pesticides, and secondhand smoke. The problem with this is that there's kind of a gray area between what is public health and private health, So these are all really good programs, and it helps people, but as far as getting involved in people's personal health matters, I don't know if we need to cross that line. So it'll evolve over the years, but the only problem then, of course, is that it will be tied to that lead grant. So we'll keep you tuned with that, what's going on with that. Let's see. We've had four major complaints that we've worked on. We had a complaint on East Indian Creek, a lot of algae and bubbling up of things. We sampled it, and the BOD was around 200, which is kind of a red flag. That's high. So Kathy went out and did an inspection of the upstream septic systems and didn't find any problems. So it could very well just be, you know, a dead animal or some other problem. So we'll continue to monitor that, but for now we've considered that case closed. Trailer mold up in Story City, sewage backup in Ames. It seemed like the inspectors there weren't taking that seriously, and sewage backup when there's an apartment situation, a lot of people involved, it's important to make sure that they know the seriousness of that and to get that resolved right away. And the owners of the rental unit did respond quickly. One ongoing problem or complaint that I've been working on is a driller that has retired a few years ago. He did several wells, geothermal wells, without grouting them. And so people are getting their heating bills, and they're a lot higher than they anticipated. And so this particular house, they contracted another driller to come in and add some more wells, and in the meantime trench the old ones. And that's where we discovered it does not appear to be grouted. It's possible that the grout dissipated and you can't see from there, but if that's so, then something needs to be changed in the way they're doing it. So we're fact finding right now, fact gathering, and DNR and Environmental Health is working on that. But because this driller has already retired, the only thing that we could do with DNR is take his drilling license away, and that's already gone. So I don't know what recourse we would have. The homeowner, it would be a civil matter, but that would not involve us.
I just got one question. On your sewage backup, that was in the city limits of Ames.
That's correct.
And so explain to me how the county's Environmental Health Department got involved in a...
Calls from the residents there, the tenants. That's how we got involved.
They complained to the city first?
Yes, they did. And then Kathy got involved and said that she didn't feel that the city was really responding in an appropriate way, and she felt she needed to follow up on that.
Okay. I think this is something that we kind of have to be careful of, because we've talked in the past that the city of Ames, technically they do have a Board of Health, which is comprised of the current city council, but they're inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And since they've lost their
inspections
for the restaurants that went back to the Department of Health, I guess I'm confused where the county's responsibility stops and where the city starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I talked about a bed bug complaint that we had last year, and the city has no mechanism to inspect that type of a shelter. So...
And hopefully today's meeting with the Board of Health, we have invited IDPH and City of Ames to discuss that, and maybe we can come to some decision this afternoon on that.
Margaret, don't we have 2080 agreements with the city involving any of these areas, so that if they were not able to... deal with it appropriately, they could ask for assistance from the county? But is this different than some of the other 2080s that we have in place right now, because this involves more or less inspections of issues that are dealing with property owners within a city limits?
I am not aware of a 2080 agreement with the City of Ames, except for well permitting.
Right. Okay.
That's it. Unless it's buried in the file somewhere. But
well,
I do not know.
I guess my concern, and it probably comes back to Paul's concern, that when we were notified and we felt that maybe some action needed to be taken for the citizens' concern, is should not we notify the City of Ames before we take any action whatsoever to determine if they need some assistance in this particular area, or would we automatically just assume that, as Paul is saying, I see a gray area here, and I think we want to really be clear in terms of, is this something that comes under our jurisdiction and yours, basically, when they have something already in place, unless they have worked out some type of an agreement where we will assist them in this manner?
Well, I agree. I think you're right. We need to get it figured out and see who has what jurisdiction, and hopefully we will address that at today's meeting.
Okay.
I've wanted a decision on this a good long while, but it seems like Ames never really sends anyone to discuss this. We talked about it a little bit with when we did the lead ordinance.
Right.
We just went ahead and included City of Ames because they never really showed any interest. But you're right. We really need to establish something or at least get some agreements in place so that we are not overstepping our bounds.
Well, I think more than that, I think it could potentially become one of these things where if the city knows that the county's health department is going to do it, then they're not going to take the steps to do it themselves.
To do it, yeah.
I think if that's the road we go down, I think that's going to be a very slippery slope that we end up on. So
yeah, I get concerned about liability of the county. I mean, I know this is a Board of Health issue, but if somebody from Boone County called us and we didn't feel like Boone County was doing what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't go over there and take care of it. And so I just need to understand what kind of authority we have in this, because it seems to me that we could be getting in a precarious situation depending on what the law says. We can do as Story County Board of Health. So I appreciate you guys are looking at it today, and I'd just like to hear more just so I'm aware of it.
We've conducted all of the inspections of the pumpers as listed in our contract with DNR. Minor violations have been found, mostly signage on their tanks, or their trucks, rather. And then a couple have been in violation of their 750-foot setback to residents. And the biggest one is, or the biggest question, is the one Drain Tech, because it's their house that is in question, and DNR does not want them to be able to spread manure that they pretty much bought or own within their property. So That's going to be resolved eventually. Matt just finished the Drain Tech inspection yesterday, and one interesting thing that he learned was that they have the contract to do the dog park. Okay, and so people, so they collect all of the dog park waste, which is in these little bags, and so now there's all these little bags all over. But they are, they do dissolve and go down. But so if you see all those little bags, that's what you're seeing from the dog park in Ames there. Interesting. And we did not find, I don't know if you can read that, but that picture there, no one is delivering milk on the weekends using their septic collar tank. Not a good picture. Okay. Trainings and meetings. We all attended the EOC meeting that Keith had put together for everybody. Did a good job on that. SharePoint webinar. Lived through that. Budget meetings, hearing, interagency reviews that planning and development sets up for us. Homeward I've been meeting with, trying to resolve some issues. And then the Lead and Healthy Homes webinar. Kathy took the Coyotes class and then sat for the exam. She hasn't gotten her test results back yet. And then Matt has done the EOC and then also doing a lot of online training for GIS. Miscellany. Okay, here we are back in CAFO land again. In addition to that one that I presented earlier today, the county has received three manure management plans for operations of that smaller nature, not the smallest, but the second level up, 500 to 1,000 animal units. So that equates to 1,250 to 2,500 finished hogs, okay, so per facility. No construction permit is required for those, only the manure management plan, which they submitted. No master matrix, no public notification. So the only thing that the Environmental Health has done is that we mailed out notices to all the property owners within a half a mile. And that's about 15, 17 property owners per facility. The three yellow dots, kind of like flowers, those are the three proposals. And then the red star is the one that I presented earlier today. So they're all really quite close. Just seems like, so four new ones in just a couple of weeks' time up in that general vicinity around Zeering there. This is just an overview of what the whole county looks like. The dark pink are manure application areas. So you can see that that north quarter of the county is heavy with manure management. Presentations that I gave for the department. I'm heading up the work group for emergency preparedness for environmental health, and we worked on response plans. I also made a presentation to Tullamore Glen Homeowners Association, well, septic, and radon. The thing about the wells is that there's several houses on individual private wells, and so I recommended they do a lot more testing than just the bacteria and nitrate. I suggested, you know, the fluoride and some pesticides and arsenic, things like that, because it's more like a public well than a private well. And then I also held the septic contractors annual meeting, and the major thing that came from that is that is I proposed the idea of contractors becoming certified to work in the county, and there's a little bit of grumbling, but pretty much well accepted. One more thing I'm working on is a 28E agreement with DNR. We are currently working on an expired 28E along with the other 98 counties. And it's sort of an unwritten agreement that there's an extension on this. And this is an issue because the Luft environmental consultants want us to have sort of a blanket agreement that we will not allow wells to go within a certain area, a certain distance from Luft sites. And I am not willing to take that property right away from Story County property owners. And so hence it triggered the need for Story County to get that 28E going before other counties.
Tell me what LUST stands for.
Leaking underground storage tanks, so old gas stations. And then also dry cleaners, they're typical sites too that need cleanup, yeah. The consultants just want an easy way to say, yeah, this one's done, we don't need to do any more monitoring because there's no way any more wells to be put in here. Well, that's not fair to the surrounding property owners, in my opinion. If anyone has an Elvis voiceover, that would be good, but thank you very much. We did make a successful move over to the planning and development area, and I just wanted to thank the folks that really helped us out on that. Paul was very helpful, and then IT, Paula, and Dave did a really good job. It was a real hard project for them, and they've been very busy, so they did a great job with that. And then also facilities, painting, and moving us all over there, and planning and development, especially Kristen. She's just great.
Good. How's that working out so far?
So far, just fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Good.
And that concludes. Any questions?
Let me go back. A more personal question. Radon.
Uh-huh.
My neighbor notified me all of our houses were built about the same time. Mm-hmm. In 56, 58, and he said that he just detected that they have a higher level than they should have, and they've gone in and had a system put in. And is this something that I probably should just have done, or get that, what is it, a test kit or something you could get to determine what the level is?
Yes, our department sells them for $5 for the initial short snapshot type thing. So come on down and buy one.
You bet.
And then if that's high, then you have to get a contractor in, and they will do a long-term testing and then decide whether or not you need a system. A couple of variations. If you spend a lot of time on your basement,
I do.
Yeah, you really need to do that immediately. And then if you were a smoker or were ever a smoker, there's a synergy with radon in the basement, making it worse if you were a smoker too. EPA considers all of Iowa a red zone, so high potential is there. Now, just because your neighbor has it doesn't mean that you will have it, but it's highly recommended that you test for that.
And so are there certain symptoms that individuals would
No symptoms, just an increased chance or susceptibility to lung cancer.
Gray facial hair.
And the tendency to talk a lot. No.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm glad that didn't get on the tape. Let's track that one out.
Erase that. I'll turn in my...
Okay.
Thanks,
thank
Margaret.
You. Thank you very much. Well, I will want to follow up and do that. Appreciate that.
We'll do this again in 2 hours.
Okay. Okay. Then moving on down. Liaison side.
I received an email from Stephen Webb from Alliance Technologies. Since about the middle of February, I think, when we contracted with them, they've used logged about 36 hours. And he's been spending a lot of his time with the CLIP installation at Community Life and also at the HSC remodel to make sure that things are going to be where they need them to be.
So we're under 10 hours a week? I mean, am I doing the quick math right there?
First, I went back. The first email I received from him, I think, was February 17th. So they were, and I believe that was probably, I don't know, the day of the week, but he'd been to one, I think that was, he'd been to his first staff meeting. So, yeah, in 6 weeks I think he said that it works very well. He tries to attend all the staff meetings, and he said he thinks it's going pretty well. So,
thanks.
All right. And, Rick, anything?
A couple good drainage district meetings, one with Steve Shanker of Ames, and we've gotten them all their information, and another one with Mark Jackson and their engineering firm for Story City. So we'll keep moving that process along.
Okay, super, super. Yesterday I met with Gayla, and basically we talked about the transition that is with the Richmond Center and the likelihood as we pick up some of the two programs in particular, the community support and the outreach program, there needs to be a memorandum of understanding that will be on our agenda next week, and it will clearly identify the county's position. She has indicated she's working with Alyssa, our HR, and there will probably need to be at least three new FTEs coming on board to deal with about 80 clients that will be a part of this transition. But I think then we also have to send a notice to Magellan, because at one point we were not listed as an agency that could provide the necessary services, and now we would have to go through them for this. And that should be just a formality, because this was something that the Richmond Center did in the past. So we didn't necessarily want to be competing with them, but now that they're going through a transition and so forth, this is an area that two areas we want to focus on. And there's ongoing discussions with Hamilton County about providing some assistance. We've kind of identified the number of clients that we need to make this cost effective for us to provide, and that's continuing to be discussed. And we also received a letter from the Richmond Center acknowledging the receipt of the 90-day notice of non-renewal of the contract as they are going through the transition with Early Ball for the continual providing of the mental health services for Story County. So those are the two main points that we discussed yesterday.
Wayne, it's as far as the three FTEs that we're talking about, that's a zero-sum game or better, right? Because the funding follows.
Right.
And then one other thing to point out, I just saw a note the other day that Johnny Hammond had resigned from the CFR Richmond Center Board.
Correct. That is correct. Okay, so I think Terpstra is the only Story County representative now on that board. Okay. All right, thank you. And moving on, other reports, none. Personnel, all items are good to go.
Move approval.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve of the personnel action. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. On the consent agenda, board, would you please, everything is good to go, but add road closure number 1238. We have one additional road closure for our consideration.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. The approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton? Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. And now, public forum number two. Thank you, Nancy, for waiting. Comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action at this time, but may do so in the future. Welcome back, Nancy Miller.
Hey, this is, you might even look at this as kind of an inquiry. Two areas, the restructuring, the county restructuring committee. I've gone to a number of those meetings, and quite frankly, it seems to me that they've gotten off track. Okay? I don't know what definition was provided them, you know, what direction, what expectations, and so on. But examples is, you know, I recognize the importance of having security for this building. I mean, that's a key deal. However, it really doesn't have anything to do with county restructuring. It really doesn't. Bike paths, important? Yeah. County restructuring? Don't think so. So it seems to me that they've gotten off track, and perhaps I'm going to the meeting tonight. I don't know if any of you all are going. But perhaps there needs to be a redirecting, talk to them and say, you know what, here's what we initially proposed to you folks to accomplish. And, you know, can even bring up some of the exceptions that really kind of fall outside kind of restructuring. Second thing is that as a result of the CPAC, you remember those guys? Folks, excuse me, there were some gals there. It's my understanding that there is a Story County Economic Development Commission, committee, whatever you want to call it.
Group.
Okay, and that there was a meeting last week. Didn't know about it. I don't know if it's even public. Okay, if it's not public, I want to know why it's not public. Let me go back to the restructuring thing. I'm sorry. It's public, but it's not, there's no audio documentation about the restructuring meetings. Okay, notes and minutes are one thing, but the audio provides absolute clarity.
I think the audio's out there from last week's meeting.
For the county restructuring meeting?
I think so.
They had it here. It's on. It's
okay, Doc.
Last week.
I need to bring a portable recorder. Yeah. But that is a concern, you know, because I know you folks are extremely diligent regarding transparency and openness. Regarding the CPAC and the Story County Economic Development, I understand there was a meeting last week. Did any of you folks attend?
No.
Didn't know about it.
Didn't know about it.
There's the number one problem.
I've had the conversation. Mark Jackson is the chair of that group. I've had the conversation with Mark.
And what is Mark's function?
He is the city manager of Story City, and I don't know if that group has selected him chair of that group.
Okay. Who are the members of that committee?
Every mayor. Dan Colhane, Bart Jackson, and every mayor from every municipality in Story County.
Are the economic development executive directors part of that committee?
Yeah, LaVon is part of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not much outside, though.
But
independent thinking.
Could I ask, would this meeting, though, this would not have necessarily been dealing with some of the issues that were in the report.
The ones that I've been to have been more of a very informal, keep everybody informed of what's going on in the various communities.
They only meet
twice a year.
Okay, so in other words, what you're telling me is as a result of the CPAC report,
right?
Let me ask it in the form of a question. What action has taken place to form the necessary committees to provide the input and therefore lead to the structuring of accomplishing at least some of the elements in that CPAC report?
If I am allowed to give my personal assessment, when we last met, I think we were looking at a potential timetable of April, May, of trying to get back together to begin the discussion. I believe that with Leanne's misfortunate accident,
right.
It kind of threw things a little bit out of whack and so forth. And I believe we would be waiting back from her when we probably could revisit it.
I think it's on our agenda.
It's
for next
on
week,
the agenda, I believe.
It's going to be on our agenda for, did you say next week? I had an email from you.
But we know that we as a board have not really taken any official action, and yet this is something that I do think needs to be addressed. There was a lot of time and effort put into that. I think there's a lot of synergy involved there, and like many other issues that we've been dealing with, I think this is one of those that we need to address, and I appreciate you bringing it back to our attention, and we'll work with planning and development and others to find out what steps we need to take to move forward.
I know that when there was the expectation of the report and the anxiousness of receiving the report, seeing what the heck are they going to propose, and really looking forward to it, and there was the excitement, the synergy in terms of let's take positive action. By golly, let's get on the stick and let's do something, as opposed to just putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Because you all know that you put it off, it never happens. Okay? So, you know, that's one of those things that needs to be scheduled, in my opinion. You know, let's, you know, get it done, get started, have your timelines, meet those timelines. If there needs to be a few exceptions, okie dokie, or expansions, but let's have some time frames so that you can then have the necessary information to do what y'all need to do. Because without that, where are you? Okie dokie, that's all I got.
Good. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Appreciate that. Okay, anyone else? No? All right, moving on. Announcements from the supervisors.
I will not be here on the 17th, so Shelley, if you want to put that on next week's agenda that we
want. Yes, I will be in D.C. With the fly-in, meeting with our congressional delegation.
I'll be here, Shelley. You and I can just sit here.
We'll not have a meeting. All right. One other announcement. Board, this is just an FYI. I received this morning. This was just a letter from Heartland Senior Service President John Klaus. It is just a renewal of the Story County Provider and Program Participation Agreement. And per the agreement in force for the contract noted, Heartland Senior Services of Story County is notifying the Board of Supervisors that discussions are in progress regarding the continual operation of HERDA by Heartland past June 30th of 2012. At this time, we do not know what the resolution will be for those discussions, but should there be change in operations, that Heartland will not be renewing the Story County Provider and Program Participation Agreement. And HERDA is discussing the possibility of continuing the operation of that service. So last Friday I had a meeting with, it was a combined meeting between the Heartland Board and the Executive Board of HERDA, to which I'm the chair this year, and we had some further discussions, and I think that there is a mutual agreement between the two entities that we continue to look at ways that we can continue to work together to provide services for the citizens of Story County in the area of transportation past the June 30th deadline. So you'll hear more about this as we go along, but this is the official notice of that the discussions are in place right now between the two boards regarding the possible changes in how services will be provided for Story County residents. Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
So it's past noon, so I want to know where Wayne's taking us to lunch, and I move adjournment.
Nancy's always been moving. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Meeting is adjourned.